the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to those that are ready to perish, and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Let them drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. We pray that you would strengthen us by it, and that you would teach us, that you would forgive our sins, that you would cleanse us, that you would prepare our hearts unto your word, unto your voice, the voice of the scriptures, and pray that you would give us instruction in them. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. We come to Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Amen. Now, some say that this is a separate section, a finishing section here, not related to the previous verses. I'm not certain of that. We're still looking, as far as I can tell, the prophecy that his mother taught him. He talked about not marrying a certain type of woman. He talked about not giving himself to drink. And all of these things, these distractions, so that would bring him away from his duties as a king to open the mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction, and open his mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. It may be that she just now goes into an instruction concerning, she's already said in verse 3 to not give his strength unto women, certain kinds of women. So now perhaps she is giving him instruction on the type of woman that he should join himself to. This is an acrostic poem from verse 10 through verse 31. These begin with each consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This takes place in other places as well. Lamentations is one as well. If you turn over to Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So in the book of Lamentations, you have 22 verses, these verses being separated out again as an acrostic poem. And then in the second chapter, you have 22 verses, once again, another acrostic poem. In chapter 3, you have three times that, 66 verses. And so there it is tripled, the acrostic poem. And then chapter 4 is also acrostic. Chapter 5 is not. But there's also Psalms that have 22 verses and are an acrostic poem. Some that have more verses than that, like Psalm 37, which I think has 40 verses, where they double up on some of the acrostic. Other parts are kind of moved around a little bit. But these acrostic poems that are given to us in the scriptures are given for what reason? Boyce says it may be an artistic device to add certain beauty to the psalm, as rhyme does in our poetry. Number two, it may indicate that the subject is being covered completely from beginning to end. And the third idea he has is a device to help memorize particular psalms or particular sections of scripture. And perhaps it is here as well. Perhaps it is an acrostic in these verses for the young ladies and the young men to memorize this particular section of Scripture, to know what kind of wife one should be, or what kind of wife one should be looking for. Ann Pratt, in her book on the Excellent Woman, which is an excellent book on this particular section of Scripture. In fact, I think she does better than a lot of the men do, actually expositing this section of Scripture. She wrote, some of the church fathers allegorized these verses. One allegorized it as a description of the soul. Another allegorized it as a description of the Scriptures and wisdom personified. Ambrose and Bede as a type of the Church of Christ. But we look at verse 11 of this, and it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. So if this is an allegory of Christ and his church, how would we say that Christ's heart safely trusts in his bride? Well, I would say more likely it's the other way around. Pratt writes, leaving these mystical and spiritual interpretations of the passage, we will consider it as an example of moral and religious excellence, presented by God to every woman whose standard of life and character is found in the written word of God. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is above rubies. In the American Standard Version, it is a worthy woman. Who can find? In the New King James, it's virtuous wife. And in the Revised Standard Version, it says just a good wife. In Young's literal, a woman of worth. In the ESV, an excellent wife. Who can find? Strong's concordance and the lexicon there in defining virtuous writes, a force, whether of men, means, or other resources. A force. An army, wealth, virtue, valor, strength, ability, activity. It's mostly translated army throughout the Scriptures. It is according to context, but it has this idea of strength and courage and virtue and ability. In Webster's, when you look up the word virtue and the way it is defined there from the Latin virtus, the radical sense is strength, from straining, stretching, extending. Strength, that substance or quality of physical bodies by which they act and produce effects on other bodies. In this literal proper sense, we speak of the virtue or virtues of plants. In medicine, virtues of drugs, virtues of plants are extracted. Second definition is bravery or valor. This was the predominant significance of virtus among the Romans. The third is moral goodness, the practice of moral duties and the abstaining from vice or conformity of life. I think these three can be seen in the rest of the verses that describe the virtuous woman. Certainly, we're impressed as we read through it, just a casual reading of it. We're impressed with the physical strength. And even if there wasn't physical strength, there would be strength of purpose of this woman because of her labor. Even if she had some ailment, which many a lady has, she pushes through it. She works through it in order to accomplish her tasks. We see also that moral strength within the text as well. Moral and mental strength in order to accomplish her purposes. Scott writes, the word rendered virtuous may imply both the health and mental endowments as well as good dispositions and conduct of the person described. The word signifies both strength, or rather courage, and riches and virtue. Ann Pratt writes, the word translated virtuous has reference to the strength of character and implies mental and moral energy or courage. Now, it's interesting just to look at the usages of the Hebrew word. Turn to Genesis chapter 34. We'll look at a few of them. Genesis chapter 34. When I think of the word virtuous in this context, I do think of strength. And I think the text bears that out, the context bears that out. She is strong in so many ways, spiritually, mentally, physically, in her purposes, she is strong. Genesis 34 and let me find the text here. It says in verse 27, the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. They took the sheep, their oxen, asses, and that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth, and all their little ones and wives took captive and spoiled all that was in the house. The word is there translated wealth, all their wealth, the strength of the people, their agricultural attainments that they had had. So we might say in our text that who can find a wealthy woman, and not talking about her financial wealth, but talking about the wealth of character, the wealth of spiritual attainments that she had. But it speaks of something certainly valuable, which our text says, for her price is far above rubies. Genesis 47. In verse 6, the land of Egypt, this is Pharaoh speaking to Joseph. Verse 5, your father and brethren have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. In the best of the land make your father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if you know of any men of activity, there's our word, any men of virtue, any men of strength, men of activity among them, make them rulers over my cattle. So he was looking for virtuous men. He was looking for men of purpose, men who knew how to labor, men who were wise in that way. Exodus chapter 14, and we'll just use one example of this. This is all throughout the scriptures. He says, Exodus 14:4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he will follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. All the host, all the army, all their strength, the host. So the word is used throughout the scripture to describe armies over and over and over again, the strength of the nation. And we can say that certainly the women of a nation can be the strength of a nation. That rock the cradle, determine what happens in the nation oftentimes. Oftentimes it's virtuous women that make a difference, and we've seen it in the scriptures as well when men have failed. Exodus chapter 18. But when the women of a nation turn to immorality, you know that the nation has gone a long ways downhill. Men are generally the first to go in these directions in the worst kinds of ways. But when you see women openly in immorality, openly in profanity, openly in these kinds of sins in a nation, you know that nation has taken a trek down a bad path. Exodus chapter 18 and verse 25. And Moses chose able men out of all of Israel and made them heads over the people once again. Able men, men of virtue. In Judges 6:12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Thou mighty man of valor, a virtuous man, a man of valor. The word valor is used a lot, this idea of courage, the idea of courage. And so it's used concerning various men throughout the Old Testament. Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. Judges 11:1, the word is used there. Now turn to Ruth. In the book of Ruth, it's used three times. Ruth chapter 2. It's going to be used in chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. Chapter 2 in verse 1. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So he was called a mighty man of wealth. So a virtuous man. So we oftentimes think of that only in terms of finances, But certainly we know that Boaz was more than that. We know that he was a God-fearing man as well. He had moral strength as well. In Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do all that you require, for all the city of my people know that you are a virtuous woman." So there's our word again. This woman of strength shows forth really so many of these attributes in our text that we're looking at. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 11. "And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into your house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem.'" Do thou worthily, with strength, with virtue, with honor. So the word is used time and time again. Then later in the Psalms, David will use it to speak as well. Go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 32. "It is God that girds me with strength." And there's our word. "And makes my way perfect." So the source of this virtue, the source of this courage, the source of this moral strength is God. In Proverbs 12:4, which we've already gone over, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Habakkuk 3:19, a famous verse, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. He is my strength," or virtue, or courage. In the Family Bible notes, in the closing passage of the book of Proverbs, the pen of inspiration has given for the instruction of all ages the character of a virtuous woman, such as every wise man will choose for his companion in life. It consists not in the fascination of outward accomplishments, which are too often united with idleness, prodigality, and selfish, contentious spirit, but rather with industry, good management, and authority over a household, along with a spirit of love and kindness. So Henry, when he deals with the virtuous woman, he speaks of three things. First of all, the person inquired after, and that is a virtuous woman, or as he puts it, a woman of strength, though the weaker vessel, made strong by wisdom and grace and the fear of God. Secondly, the difficulty of meeting with such a one, who can find her, which intimates that good women are very scarce, or that is, a woman who embodies what he's about to delineate. Thirdly, the unspeakable worth of one and the value which he has in such a wife, showing it by his thankfulness of God he ought to, and his kindness and respect to her, whom he must never think he can do too much for, because her price is far above rubies and all the rich ornaments with which vain women adorn themselves. The more rare such good wives are, the more they are to be valued by their husband. Women of strength and courage are found throughout the pages of Scripture. We can trace them in our own mind as we look through the examples given of women. We can think about Noah's wife, who nothing is said of at all, but Noah's wife was a faithful wife, one of the eight who was on the ark, a believing wife in the face of an entire world which mocked her husband and his preaching. In Hebrews 11:1, through faith Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We often think of Sarah's laughing, and sometimes that becomes so prominent in our mind that's almost the only thing we think about Sarah, the fact that she laughed and was rebuked for it. But she is included in Hebrews chapter 11, and it was through faith that she received what? Strength to conceive seed. We have Miriam, the sister of Moses, who led the women in praising God for victory over the Egyptians, who later on would be rebuked for her critical spirit of Moses' leadership. She was a strong woman, so strong women also have to be careful. Because they are strong, they oftentimes lead in ways that others might not, but they also may step over boundaries like Miriam did and had to be reproved for it. Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, and that she was a woman of strength as well. Certainly the one who received the spies, the one who sent off the spies, the one who was able to get them off without her own king finding it out. Deborah judged Israel and courageously went to battle at Barak's request, because Barak wanted the prophetess to go with him. He wanted to know what the will of the Lord was, and she went with him to battle. We have Mary, who said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word," which showed great strength in Mary, because she had thrust upon her a situation which she could truly say. We oftentimes say, well, this, we feel like this has never happened to anybody else. Mary could actually say that. That had never happened to anyone else. And faith still sustained her, even though it was a very singular trial that she faced. In Luke 8, in verse 1, it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered to him of their substance. These notices in the New Testament, which are always interesting as you are working through the New Testament, and then you have these sudden paragraphs which begin to delineate out the names of certain women whom the Lord had touched, and they then devoted themselves to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and gave themselves over while he was here to aid him in his work. And there has been many, many a lady who has helped and aided in the work of the gospel and whatever she could do in various ways promoting the gospel of Christ, a virtuous woman. We know that at the cross, John 19:25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. So they're virtuous women. They're women of strength. They're women of courage. They're going to an execution. They're watching a very dear son and a very dear friend have to go through the process of crucifixion. They're around where the others are mocking and laughing and actually saying things. They're there where the rough soldiers are. And in the middle of all that, we find this notice of these certain women. These are women of strength, women of courage. And then the women also, Luke 23:55, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre, how his body was laid. They persevered in this, following the whole transaction all the way to the sepulchre, so they could note where he was, because we know, Luke 24, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre bringing the spices they had prepared and certain others with them. So our Lord certainly had those within his ministry, women of virtue, women of strength. And then Acts 9:36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And she is given notice as well. We have Aquila and Priscilla, who are laboring together to speak to Apollos in order to instruct him further in the faith. And then finally, 1 Peter, even as the Old Testament has our section here on the virtuous woman, the New Testament has sprinkled throughout it also sections of scripture given to describe a virtuous woman. What's interesting is in the Old Testament text that we're going to be looking at, the indication there is a husband who is sympathetic to the virtue of the wife, sympathetic to the faith, as it were, while in this text, in 1 Peter 3, he covers the virtuous woman or the woman of strength and courage who is in not so good a situation. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. So we have the situation thrust out there that here is a virtuous woman in a family where there's an unbelieving husband. She is still a virtuous woman. She's still a woman of courage. She's still a woman of strength. She's in a difficult situation. And I have known of these women as well throughout the years in the church, women of great courage and strength in very difficult places. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning, plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God great price. You see the elements there. You see the adorning is not the outward adorning. It is the inward adorning, just like the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, which describes all of these inward characters, strength and courage and virtue. And so it's not the outward, but it's the inward. And a meek and a quiet spirit, a spirit which is under the control of God. And it is of great price, it says. So far above rubies. It's of great price in the sight of God. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, faithful women, women of faith, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, called him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement, as long as you fear God more than you fear men. And that will give you that virtue, that courage, that strength that is necessary to be described as a virtuous woman. So as we enter into this, I just wanted to introduce it with that who can find a virtuous woman? Yes, it is something rare, and it should be something less rare, obviously, within the evangelical church. It was rare in Israel, but there was always a remnant in Israel as well, a remnant of believers. So there were a lot of unbelievers in Israel. And so the virtuous woman would have been, I would say, more rare in Israel than it would be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where all confess to know and love the Messiah, the Savior. And of course, that differs from time period to time period throughout Israel's history as far as their own faithfulness or confession of God. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies, far above rubies. And it's her price is high because she can't be bought. That's a really high price. When you've got something and you would like to purchase it and they say, not for sale. That's a high price. So that's a strong woman. That's a courageous woman. She's someone who can't be bought, doesn't have a price. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace, for showing to us this ideal of Christian womanhood, this virtue, this strength, this courage. We pray that surely it might be not so rare among us, O Lord, your church, the blood-bought church of the living God. We pray for all of our ladies that you would grant to them such courage and strength and fear of God in their own hearts. And we pray for those who are not yet married, that you would guide and direct them to such a woman and for the ladies to be such a woman. We thank you for these examples that we can set our sights on and set our hearts upon. And we pray that you would direct us, Lord, into the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might love him supremely, fear God supremely, in order that we might walk according to your word. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.